beginning with verse 9. You can follow along. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king has said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers who were in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. And again, Lord, we, as we continue through your word, open our hearts and our understanding by your Spirit and show us your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel, the fourth major prophet we come to. Some say Daniel wasn't really a prophet, but a statesman, for he was trained and raised up, and he was like, you know, a part of the king's cabinet, or he was a statesman in the palace. But Jesus refutes that. Jesus himself called Daniel a prophet, so that settles it. Daniel was a prophet. And he was, you know, in the group of the major prophets, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And then what's followed, what's known as the minor prophets, the next 12 smaller books, beyond, you know, the remainder of the Old Testament, known as the minor prophets. So we're in the section of the Old Testament known as prophecy. And Daniel's such a key book. It's such a, some call it the key that unlocks prophecy for the entire context of the Bible. And in store, there's so much in the book of Daniel about, you know, the apostasy of the church in the last days, the revelation of the Antichrist, the Great Tribulation, the setting up of the millennial, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. These great prophetic themes opened up, you know, and consistent with the book of Revelation. You reference the book of Revelation back to Daniel. It comes alive, opens it up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 comes alive, opens it up. The end times teaching Jesus gave on the Olivet Discord opens it up. Daniel's such an important, significant book. It begins with the siege, Jehoiakim's reign, and Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Jerusalem. And to place that in the, you know, the grouping of the prophets, Isaiah prophesied before the siege. He was in Jerusalem. He prophesied, you know, during the Assyrian raids and, you know, years before Babylon laid siege in Jerusalem. Jeremiah, though, he prophesied from Jerusalem during the siege. And then Ezekiel, Remember, we just finished Ezekiel. Ezekiel was carried away captive, and he was by the river Chebar, like the suburbs of Babylon. And there is where he set up his prophecy ministry. But Daniel, he was led right in downtown. He was led into the palace in Babylon, where he prophesied from. And interesting story and revelation. Jerusalem was defeated in verse 2. The articles of the house of God carried away to Babylon, some of them. Verse 4, the Bible tells us that when the master of the eunuchs appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, now, when they laid siege, they defeated Jerusalem, they defeated Israel, Judah. And the master of the eunuch was appointed a mission. Now, pick out the selected best, the most talented, the most gifted, the most handsome. Take the cream of the crop, because we're going to train them and they're going to serve in the palace of the king. We're going to take them right downtown, right in the palace, right in the courtyard. They're going to serve Nebuchadnezzar. So take the all-stars, those that are on the honor roll, the smartest ones, the ones that are quick on their feet, the ones that can, you know, multitask, the ones that can learn a new language quickly and new customs quickly and readily. So the master of the eunuch, you know, selected, made his selection. There was three deportations from Israel, but the first one, he took Daniel and his three companions here mentioned. And they were really able-bodied. They were gifted. They had it going on, man. Daniel, he was an awesome guy. Three of his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We're going to look at a few points in this chapter. One is the intention of Babylon. It wasn't cloaked. They, you know, laid siege, took hostage some of the Israelites to really brainwash them of sorts, to indoctrinate them, new custom, new ways, new language, to, you know, turn them into Babylonians, as it were. Train them. Babylon is symbolic for the world through Scripture, the worldly system. And much like the world today, the world wants us to be like them, to act like them, to think like them. There's trends in the world that just people accept. And how much they want, you know, us to be like them, not to buck them, not to challenge them, not to come against them, not to shine a light, but to conform to them, much like they wanted to train Daniel and his three companions to be Babylonians. Part of the mission was they took these Daniel and his three companions, and they were to undergo an educational system, to be indoctrinated in the Babylonian customs and ways and literature and language. And, you know, I remember going to school when I was educated, how the world wants you to change and to conform to its ways. I remember, see, I wasn't strong in my faith. I was a Christian. I accepted Christ, went to a Baptist church, raised my hand at a Gideon thing. But I wasn't grounded in my faith. So I went to school, and they taught me about, you know, situation ethics. It's okay. There's no such thing as sin. Don't be hard on yourself. And I just ate it up. Yeah. I had the wool pull over my eyes. I thought there was sin. And I just fell into the confirmation of the world. Sex. It's okay. Here. Now, here's some condoms. Go have sex. Experiment. Sex with one another. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's normal. It's natural. Home ec class, they're teaching us about sex. I thought, this has got a word. But after a while, hey, everybody's doing it. And they conform. They want you to be like them. They suck you in, the Babylonians. Want to teach you their customs, their ways against God. And they wanted to indoctrinate Daniel, his three companions, You know, they'll teach you everything except the Bible. You know, they'll teach you about Allah, they'll teach you about witchcraft, are you a Wicca? But they won't teach you about Christ in the Bible. They wanted to brainwash them, turn them into Babylonians. They gave them new names. In verse 7, you'll notice the new names they gave them. In verse 7, it says that to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar. Now, Daniel, his name means God is my judge. But the new name, the Babylonian name that they gave him, actually means Bel's prince. Bel, another god. Hey. Hananiah, actual Jewish name, means mercy of Yahweh or Jehovah. It speaks of God's mercy. Shadrach, the new name, the Babylonian name they gave him, the command of Eku. Now, this is a derivative, something like this, but it's definitely like this. Command of Eku, which is the Babylonian moon deity. Hey, your new name, your new Babylonian name. Forget who you were. This is who you are now. You're to represent the moon god. Michelle, or who is what God is, the Jewish name, the new name, Meshach, who is like a coup, who's like the Babylonian gods, the false gods. Azariah, whom Yahweh aids, gave him a new name, Abednego, servant of Nebo, which is the god, the Babylonian god of knowledge, trying to conform them, change them. You know, with a new name, the Bible changed Jacob's name to Israel. Comes meaning and identity when you get your name changed. You know, when a woman takes on her husband's name, she's now one with her husband. The name change, it really speaks of an identity change. We're going to change you, man. The world wants to change us. Babylon wanted to change Daniel and his three companions. Now your new identity is Eku. So they gave him, the master of the eunuch gave him new names. Forget your roots. Forget your people. It's kind of like a cult practice. Cut you off from your family. You don't need to associate with them. Or, you know, certain people, like, you know, perverts and how they deal with children. Oh, you know, they and put lies in your head and indoctrinate them and twist the truth, pervert the truth. And much like their practice, to Babylonianize them. They had look at verse 5. Special diet that they were to be given. In verse 5, you know, the provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank. We're going to put you on a different diet. Change your name. Going to re-educate you, retrain you, forget everything you knew. You're different now. And you're going to eat different. They're going to learn like them, be named like them, then eat like them. You know, there's something about different cultures in the way they eat. We had that concert the other day, and, you know, no disrespect at all. But there was a big Indian community here, and there was a lot of, like, spice in the air. You know, what they eat. You smell like what you eat. We want you to smell like the world. We want you to smell like a Babylonian. You know, we eat garlic. Man, you could smell it from a distance. And yet, they want him to eat the Babylonian food. Eat and drink the king's wine. Change them. Conform them. Brainwash them. The world wants you to think and act and be like them. It's like a conspiracy going on. And this is true. You know, sin and the temptation to sin is like swirling in the air constantly around us. The Bible calls Satan the god of this age. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spirits of darkness of this age, and in this wickedness. And we're in a battle. It's not a playground. It's a battleground. And it's like swirling around. Hey, if you just sin, constantly bombarding, give yourself, change, lay it down, come. And the temptation and the conspiracy of sin and Satan and the world constantly after us to destroy our witness for Christ. You know, pledge your allegiance to sin. You know, you say Satan has a plan for your life. The world does. Yeah, Satan does have a plan for your life. But God has a plan for your life. And hold on to God. Hold on to His Word. Continue to live by faith. This is what Daniel did. Even being, you know, oppressed and all this temptation and all the... You got to put yourself where Daniel was. He was now in the palace of Babylon. Now, at that time, Babylon was the world empire. And the palace was incredible. One of the seven wonders of the world, the hanging gardens on the side of the palace, and the mount, beautiful. The walls written about the palace, 70 feet wide, four chariots could ride abreast. I mean, a freeway, you know, on the wall, surrounding Babylon. An incredible, you know, symbol and sign of strength and the economy. Hey, man, you know, if you're thinking economy, well, they must be doing something right. Surely it can't be wrong to go and be and act like them. Maybe I'll get some of that. And yet Daniel didn't cave. Daniel stood for God, stood firm. Look in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. He purposed in his heart. That means he made up his mind in a conviction or a resolute way. I am not going to lose my identity. I'm going to hold fast to my faith. No matter the bombardment, no matter the swirl around, no matter the temptation, no matter what's going on and seems to be the trends, popular, lying, deception, it's okay. It's just the way it is today. Daniel purposed in his heart, made up his mind, resolute. He's not going to defile the Lord. And it's interesting how, you know, he had such a strong, firm conviction to live for God and to choose Christ. He would not defile himself by eating the king's delicacies. And we look at that and we think, you know, Turkish delight. But, you know, and he didn't want to defile the Lord, be defiled ceremonially. You know, I'm a Jew, Daniel. I'm a Jew. I'm going to live like a Jew. I'm going to keep the dietary laws of the Jew. I'm not going to eat the Babylonian pork or, you know, the food that sacrificed to idols. And they did. The nations, you know, offered it to idols and offered it in pagan ritualistic ways, and then you would eat it, becoming one with their pagan gods and idols. Daniel said, no. I purpose in my heart, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to be a Babylonian. I'm a Jew. I'm God's child. And I'm going to be God's child. And he made up his mind, firmly, not to eat the king's delicacies. You know, he had a belief that if he would, you know, begin, you know, if I just eat that and I give an inch. The Bible says, you know, if a little leavens, leavens the whole lump. You begin, you go in that direction, you start to compromise. You know, what did Harrison Ford say? If you give a mouse a cookie, he'll want a glass of milk. And we need to stand firm in our conviction for Christ, no matter what is surrounding us, no matter what's popular, trends, the majority thinks or acts or how they live. But he didn't want to defile himself ceremonially. Then it's interesting. He requested the master of the eunuchs. You know, he's communicating with the guy that's over him. He says, I and my three companions, us four, would like to go on a special diet. We don't want to defile ourselves, you know, and eat what's forbidden by the Levitical law, but just give us vegetables, you know, something grown from the seed, comes out of the soil. Just natural fruits and vegetables. And he asked, you know, in a special request to avoid the defilement. Now, this is not pro-vegan. You know, this isn't because he, you know, it's a special diet. And although if you did eat like that, it's kind of like a fasting thing going on. But it wasn't the intent or the purpose. The underlying purpose was that he didn't want to defile himself ceremonially. And vegan, you know, personally, I get strength from meat. You know, I was at Golden Corral the other day. I had a load way up in the thumb, and I stopped in Port Huron, and I'm sitting there eating close to the grill, smelling the, you know, the steaks cooking. This big guy comes up to the counter, you know, and there's no one behind the grill. He says, "Hey, anybody back there?" And so he meets somebody on the side there. He says, "I'll meet you in the red meat zone." And I felt like raising my cup and saying, "Amen, brother." But I had to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. But I get strength from meat. It's not wrong to eat meat. But he didn't want to defile himself. Take up the Babylonian customs. Eat, smell like a Babylonian. He wanted to remain in his identity, God's child. Not to be compromised with the king's wine. Here, you know, the king's wine, not the cheap stuff. So, it was the strong stuff, the good stuff. They were going to get them loaded. Hey, relax, party. Last night we took a ride down Gratiot. These bars, I mean, it was like a ghost town. You know, it was like incredible how things are getting around here. But then you look over at the bars and the parking lot's like jam-packed after midnight. Get loaded, party. It's okay. You know, it's the way. It's Miller time. And it's the acceptable, you know, trend of the world. Relax. Have yourself a drink. And he wouldn't compromise and get loaded. He refused to go the way of the world. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read a little portion here. Look in verse 11. 2 Corinthians 6, 11. Paul writing to the Corinthians, trying to correct them, says, "O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as the children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And chapter 7, verse 1, one more verse. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." He said, come apart and be separate. You know, what fellowship has sin with Jesus? None. You know, be holy. Live in the light. Remain separate. And Daniel had that resolve. I'm going to remain separated. And it's so interesting because when he did it, you know, the eunuch, the master of the eunuch, he started to have like a persuasion. Now the master of the eunuch is communicating and he's setting the terms. Daniel's saying, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. Here, sit down." He said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a special diet. You examine us after 10 days. And he's setting the terms. And the eunuch says, "Hey, man, if you goof up on me, I could lose my head." Basically, he's putting his life on the line to comply. But Daniel, resolve and his firm belief. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Drawing the contrast of being in the spirits of alcohol or intoxicated or under a substance influence and being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Big difference. And that verse, Paul says in Ephesians, he says, in which is dissipation. That means, you know, you're indulging in the flesh to the point of hurting oneself. You know, it's going in the wrong direction. You bring harm on your own body and your own mind and your own organs. Be filled with the Spirit. He requested of the master of the eunuch. It's interesting. He was so polite. He says, please. You know, he's courteous. You know, the the world and Satan and sin have a plan for our life. They're in conspiracy against us as Christians and against our witness for Jesus Christ and against our faith for living with him and in him. And yet, you know, we're not to take this militia anti-government stand with some kind of attitude. You know, we've met people, government, I'm not going to have a driver's license, and have some kind of attitude. Whereas, notice Daniel's, please, give us a chance here. We want to start a 10-day challenge. He's very courteous. He's very gentlemanlike. He's civil. He's polite. And he brings forth a response. You know, not to be mad, but glad. Remember that commercial? Don't get mad, get glad. And that's exactly his attitude. You know, and he wasn't anti-government. He was pro-God. He's standing with God. He's standing firm. He asks, please, give me a 10-day challenge. And then God moves. If you notice in verse 9, notice, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Now God had brought Daniel, given him grace, favor, goodwill, kindness, compassion, mercy. This master of the eunuchs was attracted to Daniel. He liked Daniel. God gave him favor in his eyes. God's moving. This is God that's doing this. This isn't Daniel and his ability and his, you know, influence over people. This is God moving in the spiritual realm. The Bible tells us when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. It says in Proverbs, the hearts of all men are in the hands of God. And he starts to move as Daniel stands firm in his faith, bucking the opposition. Then he starts to bless. Look in verse 17. Notice, and for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and wisdom, and he endowed them. Now, this is not according to their all-star honor roll status. This is God's blessings being poured out on their life. He's blessing them and anointing them. It says that after the 10 days, they examined them compared to the other, and their flesh was fatter. What a weird phrase. But it means they were healthier. They looked good. They were doing good. And God did that. God gave them blessings. God's plan is so much better. Look in verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. You know, you don't have to alter this. We don't have to, you know, manipulate this text to bring forth a message. All we have to do is read it and look at it. Daniel, they were trying to conform him to be like them, the world. And he stood firm in his faith, and God moves. But not only does he move, if you do the, you know, the math, there's a mathematical formula here. He was blessed 10 times greater. That's like 1,000%. That's God's plan. God's plan is much better than what we can figure out and come up with. 10 times better. The king started to consult them. He was exalted. Later on, okay, Ezekiel, this is how he was exalted and how he excelled. Ezekiel's in the suburbs, you know, by the river Chebar, and he's writing in his prophecies, and he's comparing Daniel with Job and Noah. Remember, he says, if Job and Noah and Daniel were here, I'd still destroy the city. In other words, he already had legendary status, and they were the same age. He was just there a few years. God just promoted him, and he excelled right up the ladder, right second to the king. He was right in the palace. God found favor on him. But he made up his mind not to defile himself and to remain God's. The Bible tells us in Romans that we're not to conform ourselves, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to be transformed into God's image, to be like God, to act like God, to smell like God. You know, and we are what we eat, and what we put in our system reeks out of our pores. And if we're feeding on His Word, on worship, and good, healthy, holy things in our thoughts, and in our mind, and our heart, it's what we smell like. Even Paul says, you know, you'd be a good fragrance before the Lord. We want to smell like a Christian, to be like one, to act like one. The Bible tells us, you did not receive the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. And again, the world and sin and Satan have a plan for you, but God's plan is so much better. You know, the Bible describes, you know, Daniel's being blessed. We're going to see, man, they really come against him, and there's so much. You know, the angel comes to him and opens up scripture, and it's just, this is a great book. But the Bible tells us, David said, my cup runs over. And, you know, he's blessed. And, you know, I read something on Roseanne's Facebook saying, you know, we're drinking from the saucer now. The cup's running over. I like, my grandpa used to put a, you know, make a cup of instant coffee on the dining room table, and he'd fill it up right to the brim. You couldn't lift it up without spilling it. It was like totally right to the top, and then he'd bend down. He'd slurp it out of the cup. But we're drinking from the saucer now. How Daniel's blessed, and he pours out his blessings. He brought him into favor. The Bible tells us we have access into this grace by which we stand. We can come before God now. We can relate through Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He bestows mercy upon us. He gives us grace. We're in a relationship with the Lord. He's blessed us. God's plan is so much better. So Lord, cause us to be strong. Let's stand. Daniel gives us such an example. Greatly beloved of God, the angel tells him. To cause us to be strong and recognize the grace and the blessings that He offers and gives to us 10 times better. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the prophet Daniel and his testimony and the account that You've preserved, Lord, that we can look at his life and hear what he said and review how he acted. Lord, we ask that You would, Jesus, as You said, plant Your Word in our heart, that we might not sin against You, and that we may find good, fertile soil. And Lord, that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that we would remain separated from the intoxication and the influences that surround us. Lord, that we would remain in our identity, who we are. We're Your child, Lord. We're God's people. And Lord, let us act and think and smell like who we are. Lord, we ask that You cause us to be strong, that we would stand and purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves. And Lord, we look to You. that you would cause that to happen. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Apart from you, we're nothing. We need you. We need the strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Your might, Lord. Give us strength for your glory, for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So much better. May the Lord be with you and cover you with his hand. May you not be Babylonianized. May you be Christianized by his word, by his love, by his Spirit, by his mercy. He's so good to us, and he's so faithful when we call on him. He doesn't give us any reason to turn our back on him. And Lord, help us draw in close and rely on your strength and help us maintain our identity in you. In Jesus' name, amen.